Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Minister, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, out of 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is June the 27th, 2024. It is the 11th day of, or it's the 21st day of the 4th month, and we're going to do our service here. It looks like ivory palaces. Marcia has gone so long this fine, and made the texture fill, and fragrance sweet this heart of mine, it's your loving thrill. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, on his great eternal love, make the Savior go. Life had also its sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made the Savior go. His garments to when cast he had dipped, with healing in us tied, he's tied my feet in some sinner's net. He took me from his claw. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. In garments glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palisade into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go.
Behold, I make all things new. We're on page 58. So it says, let's just start with, in their mouth is found no guile. That's the name of our sermon. That's the Avicii track number 9 of Avicii Hollis. And we're on page 58. Let's back up and read that last paragraph again. Consequently, as making of the image of the beast, Revelation 13, 11, 18 is in the prophecy, the only worldwide event of this kind, and as the great multitude of the palms in their hands come out of the great tribulation, the only logical conclusion is that after the 144,000 are sealed, and while the winds are blowing, the sacred fruits will be gathered, and the work of the teaching of the plan of salvation by the everlasting covenant for the gathering of the sacred fruits of Gentiles from all nations of the world, and that's a new and living way. That's in Hebrews 10, 19, 20, by the blood of Yahshua. That's what the gospel really is. For the trouble will burst forth as a two-horned beast decree, that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 17. Thus will the dragon be wroth with the woman, and make war with the remnant of her seed, that keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. Revelation 12, 17. And at the same time, the angels will be allowed to hurt all who trouble the church of Yahweh and who attempt to join it in the same way as the chariots now do, and thus hurting the wicked. The angels execute the wrath of the Lamb. And the view of this, the Yahshua asked, who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:17. It is the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, and the sinners in the Zion are afraid. Among us shall dwell with them, shall be afraid. For the fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. This yet again, it is the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and the sinners in the Zion are afraid, for the fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Hence the question, who among us shall be able, who among us shall dwell with the divine power? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Only those who see themselves in the need of everything, and they are the ones who see that king. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of the evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of the rock, which shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. For thine eyes shall see the king and his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. For thine heart shall meditate too, where is the scribe, where is the receiver, where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a more of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the sticks thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall they of the cords thereof be broken. But the glorious Ashura will be unto us as a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall the gallant ship pass thereby, for the Ashura is our judge. The Ashura is our lawgiver. That's Genesis 49:10. The Ashura is our king, and he will save us. Isaiah 13:14-22. For the Michael of the great prince shall then stand up and deliver everyone that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1, because in that day the Ashura is both the shepherd, the faithful, and to punish the unfaithful for the message which announces this great and dreadful day. Malachi 4:5 is titled The Shepherd's Rock. The Yahweh's voice therefore cried unto the city, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Sunken in the latest sand slumber and sleep, the city, the church, and the Yahweh's merciful effort to prepare it against the day of the trouble is to be startled to life by his urgent cry. Awake, awake, put on that strength, O Zion, put on that beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth it shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. So it says that, awake, awake, put on that strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness to people, but the Ashura shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and change to the brightness of thy rising. Isaiah 60:1-3. For the church of the Laodicean, being the last of the seven churches, is the last section, and that's the Adventist church, of the Christian church era. And when I say Christian church, I'm talking about the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans, and the like. Okay, it says, being the last of the seven, churches is the last section of the Christian Protestant era, in which the wheat and the tares are co-mingled together. For the overcomer, the marked one, from it, those who hear the rod, begin the eighth section of the church as the one symbolized by the barn, is Matthew 13:30, and by the vessel, Matthew 13:48, also by the golden candlestick of Zechariah 4. Of her the Yahshua said, for the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yeshua shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yeshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Yahweh. As 62:2-3. Among the latter sins, however, those who refuse for the arousing and taking in the situation, who will not sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst of Ezekiel 9:4 will be left without the mark and will consequently fall under the slaughter weapons of the angels of Ezekiel 9, while those who receive the mark and escape them and be shielded from the trouble, the shields being symbolized by the barn and the vessel. Mark 13:30-48. For the sparing of the wheat on the one hand, and slain of the tares on the other hand, among the first fruits, those in the church foretoken the sparing of the good and the slaying of the bad. Among the second fruits, those in Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Page 64, as we continue on part 3 here, behold, I make all things new. It says, and furthermore, as the eighth section of the church eternal is of the seventh section. And I say the seventh section is temporal, and the eighth section, the eighth part of it, is eternal. I've never seen this before. For the church temporal, just so the eighth beast, the post-millennial world, is of the seventh beast, Revelation 17:11. The pre-millennial world. For this inescapable parallelism between the work of the Yahweh and the work of the Satan, which inspiration so sharply and vividly brings into focus, speaks for itself that we are entering into the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, a fact which should stir our hearts as nothing ever has. And since henceforth, from the time of that time forward, 1,000 or more, and the sinners taken away from among them, no more shall the wicked commingle with the righteous. From that time on forever, therefore, the kingdom church, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, that set in the days of these kings, and in the 12th parabolic hour, is the eighth, and it stays pure. Okay. Prophetically, looking forward to the church's purified state, the prophet Zechariah saw that every part in the Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host. And your Canaanite is the descendants of Ishmael, the firstborn of the flesh of Abraham, son of Yahweh, would not accept to carry on the righteous line of Abraham. Zechariah 14:21. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith to Yahshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Then shall go forth the word of the Yahshua, fear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Isaiah 33:13. All who have acknowledged and profited by his might in the past, along with all who will acknowledge and profit by his might in the future, are to be found in the five groups in the kingdom. These groups are, number one, the 144,000 Israelites, the first fruits of the living, whose nobles shall be of themselves, and whose governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Jeremiah 30:21. They shall return to Jerusalem and stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. Number two, those whom John saw after the stealing of 144,000 gathered from all nations and kindred and people and tongues during the great tribulation, the time of the trouble such as never was, a great multitude who go to Jerusalem before the resurrection. And number three, those who arise unto everlasting life, and the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2. And number four, those Israelites who shall come forth in the resurrection of the Ezekiel 37:1-14. And number five, all who come in the resurrection of the Revelation 20:6, collectively, these are all the Israelites and Gentiles who shall return to Jerusalem for the possessing of the promised land, and then for the possessing of the whole earth. Ironically futile, therefore, in the view of what we have seen in these pages, is the ever-strengthening aim for the rebuilding of Jerusalem as the one movement is endeavoring to do in the response unto the prophecies of the kingdom by the taking through the non-Christian Jews, and as another movement is endeavoring to do in the response to the same prophecy by the taking there the English-speaking world, a kingdom of both believers and unbelievers, would be none the better than the kingdoms of today. It would, in fact, be nothing more than a Babylon, nothing more than the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2. To work for such a hope is to take a long step toward bringing in the Satan's powerful delusion. counterfeiting of Yeshua and a counterfeit kingdom. Thus it is that only those who have been diligent students of the Scripture and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive by the Bible testimony. These will detect the deceiver and his disguise, are the people of the Yahweh now so firmly established upon his word that they would not yield to the evidence of their senses. But they in such a crisis cling to the Bible and the Bible only, such as quoting Great Controversy 625. In the view of this urgency for the safeguarding of the Christian's crowning hope, the kingdom, it is expedient, therefore, to consolidate the main point thus far established in the end gathering, hence, for a summary of the first and second fruits. Number one, when the time of the terror, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, his country is full, then will commence the harvest. And it will bring the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40, taking the place in the end of the world. It perforce is the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message, the last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel. That's the teaching of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20. It's about the new and living way, that is, that through his blood is preached first unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and then unto all the world during that long expected day. For the message finding the net full upon the arrival and subsequently causing a division between those who accepted and those who rejected, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good, Matthew 13:48. These are good for the first fruits of the redeemed. Follows the separation implicit in the call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague, Revelation 18:4. These are called out ones, are the second fruits. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net, the message reposing in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh's faithful are called out from among the sinners in Babylon, there being no terrors among them. For the terrors and the wicked were commingled in the former instance, because while men slept, says the Yahshua, or says the Yahweh, the enemy came and sowed the terrors among the wheat, whereas the wheat is kept free from the terrors. In the latter instance, because, says the Yahshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, Isaiah 62:2. for the Babylon's dominion being symbolized by the scarlet-colored beast, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is therefore representative of an international religious political system. Okay, it says that for the religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast, in connection, in combination, a symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of the church and state union. For the beast alone, exclusive of the horns, represents, as do the beasts of Daniel 7, the world's multitudes, the subjects of an antithetical Babylon, from among whom Yahweh's people are called. The gathering constitutes the separation of the second fruits. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitute the kingdom at its beginning in the 12th parabolic hour, which is your last parabolic hour for the harvest and the end gathering of all the saints before probation closes, before the resurrection of the dead. For the facts, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. But this shall be the covenant, declares the Yahweh, concerning this glorious truth of the kingdom, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, 33, 34. And they shall call them, acclaims Isaiah, as the holy people, as the redeemed of the Yahshua, the Son, Isaiah 62:12. And a highway shall be there. This is he assures, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Isaiah 35:8. Number two, when this gospel of the kingdom, in other words, when this teaching of the plan of salvation to build the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, through the new and living way, that is, through his blood, shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, Matthew 24:14, the work of the gospel shall end and probation shall close for every human being. Number 3, when both the Jew and Gentile who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, then will the harvest end, then will the last lingering moment of the probationary time have fled away forever. Then will the end have come, and from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Learning to their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost, the neglectful will cry out bitterly, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Behold, I come quickly, declares Yahshua. Following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, and my reward is with me to give every man according unto his, as his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here is anchor evidence that the probation closes before the Yahshua visible return. No, this is wrong. Here is anchor evidence that probation closes after the Yahshua's second return, not before. The Rishi Halef had that wrong. Number 4. At the close of the seventh plague, the Yahshua himself visibly, and every eye, Revelation 1:7, shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. This statement number 4 is all confusing. It's all wrong. I don't know what Sister White and Vicki Hollis, they collaborated together to put this Yahshua coming in the seventh plague. So when the seventh plague falls, it means that there's 3 more plagues to follow it. And that is during the probationary time. And Yahshua is on the scene to start the plagues falling, start with plague 1. So this is all wrong. Yahshua come at the beginning of the 12th parabolic hour, has already made his invisible appearance in the 12th parabolic hour at the Kermit, Texas 2002, starting at the Passover. And he went back to heaven after he changed the leadership of the kingdom down at Gilead Center from Brother Johnson over Gilead Center to Elijah David over the everlasting kingdom of David. So it says, with the righteous dead of all ages being resurrected and joined with the living saint, the kingdom is completely made up of the righteous having been set on his right, in his kingdom, and the wicked on his left in Babylon. Then while the king sends those on his left into the everlasting punishment, he says unto those on his right, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world, Matthew 25:46-34. Following this is realized a long awaited fruition of the glorious hope engendered of the Yahshua's promise, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. For the stirring hope of the ever Christian is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of the energy, Genesis 5:24. For the translation of the Elijah 2, of the Elijah 2 Kings 2:11, and the resurrection of the multitude whom the Yahshua led on the high, Matthew 27:52-53, Ephesians 4:8, a threefold typification and a triple accord with the Yahweh's law of the type, that where there is a type, there must also be an antitype. Were there not assuredly in this connection to be an antitype, ascension of all the saints, then there would not have been a type. It says translation of the Enoch and Elijah, and ascension of the multitude, for the type would have been arbitrary, purposeless, and misleading. Not only type would have been arbitrary, purposeless, and misleading, and not only the saints, therefore, but also the heavens shall depart, for the wicked shall cry unto the mountains to fall upon them. With the close of the seventh plague will come the fullness of the end of which explains the revelation. Well, see, the thing is, the problem with this closing of the seventh, it doesn't say the seventh is the last plague, because according to the type down east, they had 10 plagues fall, and you have to have 10 plagues these last days fall. The heavens, the atmosphere of our earth, Genesis 1:8. Okay. It says, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places, for the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid in the den, and in the rocks of the mountains, saying unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:14-17. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua, also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that the Yahweh will gather all his people from among the nations, call forth his own from their graves, catch up all the redeemed. This is not the Yahweh the Father. This is actually still talking about the Son. Let's read that in the light of the Son doing all this. For the fact that all of these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua, also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that the Yahshua the Son will gather all his people from among the nations, call forth of his own from their graves, catch up all the redeemed, both of the living and of the resurrection, for the meeting him in the air, and to go with him into the mansion which he has been preparing for them ever since his ascension. destroys all the wicked, leaves the earth empty without the life or light, then makes it void and without form, and finally let not the dead live again until the 1,000 years are finished. All these facts make manifest that the earth is to be in a state of the chaos while the saints live and reign with the Yahshua in the heaven during the 1,000 years. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances which make impossible his deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years are finished. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances which makes impossible his deceiving of the nations until the 1,000 years are finished, and until the Yahshua again returns with the saints, calls forth the wicked dead from their graves, and allows them to live for a short season, a season in which Satan again deceives them, looking forward into the resurrection after the millennium. The Revelator saw that the wicked went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from the Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 9, 10, 14. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel 7, 27, 28. Seeing that all these things shall shortly come to pass, stand ye in the way. Stand ye in the ways, says Yahshua, and see and ask for the old path. Jeremiah 6:16. Neither give heed unto the fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions rather than righteous edifying, which is in the faith. So do. 1 Timothy 1:4. Not giving heed unto the Jewish fables and commandments of the men that turn from the truth. Titus 1:14. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their eyes or their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. My speech and my preaching, says the Apostle Paul, was not with the enticing words of the man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of the man, but in the power of the Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Let this counsel warn Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of the hanging their doctrines and their faith on the gilded hoops of the perverted interpretations and of the rendering from the tongues unknown to them, the Hebrew, the Greek, and this and that or that other, and of the interpretative translations that bolster up and serve the interests of the theological preconceptions and predilections better than does the authorized version of the King James, the version in which the Yahweh, in his providence and in his foreknowledge of the finishing of his work by the English-speaking world, has given unto his people to lead them into his kingdom. Beware, therefore, of the pretensions of the pseudo-scholarship, which assumes to be more dependable than that which Yahweh himself has chosen and wrought in the simplicity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. For the additional information from Tract Number 9, 1940. Tract Number 9, Behold, I Make All Things New, had 112 pages and was first published in 1940. 2 years later, 1942, it was revised, having only 78 pages, which proved that some information was left out. By the comparison of the two tracts, it was noted that the 1940 tract, number 9, included other valuable information besides the explanation of the 1 Peter 3:18 to 20, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:29, which was not found in the 1942 tract number 9. For the preserving of this valuable information for the edification of the Davidian saints, these pages 99 through 110 of the 1940 tract number 9 has been inserted here, which ends with the index pages of 110 and 112. This brings in our stuff. This hour, contact at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on the audio orchestra. We're going to close now with a song. The Pearly White City. There's a holy and beautiful city whose built and maker is Yah. And saw it descending from heaven when Patmos exiled his throne. With our massive wall, it's of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my fair tent head is folded, all I shall his glory behold. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city and soul coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling her nor me. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no temptation is there to annoy, no parting was ever spoken. There's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, wasting and longing for the white city and saw coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, your tears adorn my Sunday heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no end in strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My heart is not set on this city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In the bright city, holy bright city, I'll have a mansion, heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, and star coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends who are passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. If safe now in glory with Yeshua, the trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and their tempting, they reset their city at last. In that bright city, that white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city, come soft, coming down.